Hey everyone, welcome to episode 24 of Security Nation. I am Kyle Flaherty. Today we got to speak with Charlotte O'Donnelly. Charlotte is a research associate over at Blue Hill Research. We actually figured out we're actually on the same street, yet we did it over Skype, but that's for another day. We talked IoT. So Charlotte researches customers, their go-to-market, their win losses, what's going on with them, but she focuses primarily on IoT technology. And it was fascinating because we talked not only about the growth in the market and where we're going to see it moving forward, platform versus software versus hardware, all the different kind of elements of IoT, but we dove into a lot of things around security, as well as not just the security of the IoT itself or the data itself, but diving into the privacy ramifications, the creepiness ramifications overall, and what that might mean for the market in terms of prohibiting it. Or maybe it's a good thing that these things are happening at the level they're happening at. For example, we talk about cloud pets during the podcast, where I think it was 2 million recordings that parents had basically left for their children to hear via some scary teddy bear. But those things were publicly available via this breach. And so that's a huge, you know, and we obviously hear a lot about Alexa and Echo and Nest and cars and all those different types of things. So we hit on a lot of that, but also how companies are being smart about that stuff. And not just from the security perspective, but from the innovation perspective. I learned a lot about what IBM's doing with the IBM Watson IoT and their headquarters. And I think Charlotte calls them co-laboratories, how people can kind of work together on this stuff. There does seem to be an openness around IoT right now that I hope, from a security standpoint, but also a business and innovation standpoint, allows us to keep pushing this forward, but doing it in the right way. So enjoy episode 24 of Security Nation. And here is, well, me, obviously, again, which is always weird because I introduce myself. But I'm with Charlotte O'Donnelly, who is the expert. So enjoy.
You're listening to Security Nation with host Kyle Flaherty.
Now, you're local, right?
Yeah, I'm just in Boston near South Station on Summer Street.
Oh, all right. I'm right now in 100 Summer Street, so we probably could have done this in person.
Wow, yeah, that's pretty close.
Yeah, I didn't realize that. So, all right, when we have you on the next time, we'll do this one. We'll do this one in person for sure. That'll be great. Yeah. Awesome. So I actually thought I would start by asking you to kind of maybe set the scene a little bit and tell us a little bit about, you know, Blue Hill and, you know, where you work, but more specifically, just like the market for industry research. Obviously, it's pretty crowded, right? There's a lot of kind of names out there. But from your perspective, what are some of the stuff that you're doing that maybe differentiates you guys?
Sure. Yeah. So Blue Hill Research is an industry analyst firm based out of Boston. We look at the customer journey for enterprise technology adoption, both from a research and an advisory perspective. I think what makes us a little different than some of the bigger players like Gartner, Forrester, is that we're really focused on the win-loss analysis. So why do customers choose certain enterprise technologies, and what are really the deciding factors that leads a company to adopt a particular technology solution versus another? So we're really interested in speaking to end users in that regard and discussing why they chose the solution that they did and really doing deeper dives into that win-loss analysis.
Oh, okay. That's interesting. And when you kind of do that for customers specifically, are there things that are just unbelievably surprising to them, or does it validate a lot of the stuff that maybe they thought?
Yeah, I think a lot of the times it validates what they thought, but we look at kind of the entire customer life cycle. So we don't just stop after adoption. We tend to look at what are increasing uses that customers have found for their solution. So a lot of the times those kinds of conversations are surprising to clients in the fact that their customers may have found additional uses for the solution than they had previously purchased it for.
Oh, all right. So, and then I would imagine too, that starts feeding their product management folks, or even their go-to-market teams.
Absolutely. Yeah. If you can kind of communicate that entire lifecycle message, not just from implementation to adoption, but also the ongoing upsell opportunities, it's definitely valuable.
So you specifically, what brought you, because you've had, you know, varying roles, specifically, you know, in marketing as well, you know, so that of course warms my heart. But, you know, what brought you to wanting to do this type of work?
Yeah, it's a good question. I had always been interested in technology, and I kind of combined a lot of that interest from a technical marketing standpoint. I've always loved to write, so selfishly, I love to be able to write about technology and share that with others. So that's kind of what drove my interest in Blue Hill. I've also been really interested in Boston startups, so I love that kind of environment. Blue Hill, we're a really small team, keep the company very lean, and a lot of responsibility going around. So I've really enjoyed my time.
So speaking of that, obviously you have a focus around IoT, mobility, and telecom. What led you to those specifically? Because obviously, I don't know if we had huge growth, a lot of stuff going on in those, and we're going to dive into that as we continue the conversation. But I'm curious if there was a personal pull for those as well.
Yeah, so I'm actually a millennial, so, you know, all the stereotypes about millennials and technology, but I've always been passionate about mobile technology. And recently with IoT emerging, I see that as the next big landscape. It's going to change the face of business and consumer life from kind of the same way that the internet did. So I've always been really interested in looking at the transformative effect of technology. And as a young person who's grown up attached to devices and constantly using them, it's been a personal as well as a professional connection.
And what is driven, I mean, in your mind, where do you see the biggest drivers of growth right now for IoT?
Yeah, it's a really good question. I think it's important to make the distinction that IoT itself isn't exactly one market. So it's a market that consists of everything from component technology, such as the sensors, as well as IoT platforms, IoT analytics and applications, and connected consumer products. So you can really break down IoT into the consumer market, the enterprise market, and the industrial market. It's a market that is trillions of dollars. If you look at just the IoT platform players alone, like IBM, SAP, PTC, Intel, Cisco, GE, together they have a combined market cap of over $400 billion. So it's a huge market, but that's not even including all the players that are tangentially investing in IoT through either consumer products, services, different applications that interface with IoT platforms. So it's a really exciting market. And even in the past year alone, there's been a great deal of acquisition activity. A lot of major players like IBM, Intel, Cisco, and Dell are restructuring their entire businesses around IoT. So they've undergone a lot of layoffs and hiring to really prioritize IoT over their traditional hardware business because it's such a fast growing and exciting space.
So how, that's interesting, the restructuring, and I want to get back to a little bit about how you broke down the markets. I think that's pretty interesting overall. And then of course the platform, but maybe let's talk a little bit more about that restructuring. So how does a company, and obviously those are big companies that you just talked about, but how are they looking at IoT to that level of, you know, they're actually restructuring, moving jobs around and whatnot? What's the kind of end game for those kind of players? What do they see that potentially a lot of folks don't right now?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I think that a lot of businesses are starting to recognize the opportunity that IoT provides. A lot of these traditional hardware players are finding that the services that they originally provided are becoming very undifferentiated. It's quite a saturated market for hardware. So the real value that companies can provide with IoT is providing a full ecosystem that has both hardware and the endpoint with the data and cloud that provides value for end consumers. So a lot of these companies are starting to invest in providing an entire platform ecosystem of IoT. Traditionally, they have been providing these kind of platforms on the more of the hardware side. So with IoT, there's definitely the opportunity to provide both the hardware and the end software applications and services.
And so for those big hardware players, the Ciscos of the world, even IBM of the world, although they, you could argue it's hardware, software more than anything now, but are they going out and grabbing a lot of these smaller IoT firms? And are those technologies in terms of software, or are they, you know, actual devices, or is it like, what is it that they're looking for to fill in that portfolio?
A lot of them are looking at software. So we saw last year Cisco acquired Jasper Technologies, which is an IoT for a company. Another interesting one I saw was GE Digital acquiring ServiceMax. It's a field service management company. So providing solutions in the field that connect via applications, allow field service workers to use applications to connect with devices in the field. So those are some interesting ones. I think that a lot of the time, the big players are building hardware capabilities in-house, and they're going through partners for the software and services capabilities, because it's a little bit easier to build hardware capabilities with within your existing solutions, build IoT into those, versus connecting IoT through services and software, which through partnerships, you can broaden the ecosystem a bit.
Right. What's been the, I guess, one of the most fascinating or ingenious uses of IoT that you've seen?
Yeah, that's a really good question. There's a lot of good ones. I think across all different kinds of categories. So within manufacturing and supply chain, that one's gotten the most adoption so far. And I think those ones are a little bit more kind of similar to business processes now, but I think some of the really interesting ones are happening in spaces like retail and healthcare. So both with retail, it's both about inventory management, but also creating these targeted, personalized, contextual experiences for consumers that combine sensors, wearables, and smartphones within the store to provide a much more personalized shopping experience that I think is really going to change the face of retail. With healthcare as well, there's a lot of wearables and solutions like Watson IoT that are coming in to play for tracking of equipment, as well as providing better patient care. And that's obviously a huge opportunity, especially in the U.S., to really improve the healthcare system. I think that's a great opportunity.
Do you think the targeted experience in store is interesting, just because, you know, as a marketer and a technical marketer, we've seen this before. And it seemingly for retail has always been the next last gasp for retail to actually get people in stores. And we continue to see varying numbers when it comes to the in-store experience. Do you think that this is kind of one, not, you know, I'm not going to be dramatic and say it's their kind of last chance. I'm not saying stores are necessarily going away. You know, we continue to see that retail experience being shifted dramatically. I got to imagine this is one of their biggest bets so that they can get actual feet through those doors.
Yeah, I think it's a huge bet. And there's really a fine line between providing a personalized experience to the customer that they find valuable and being intrusive.
Yeah, so creepy.
Yeah. So you hear about these companies that have almost too much data on their consumers, and they're sending them recommendations before they even want them. Uh-huh. But I think if you look at companies that are doing well with retail, it's the fact that they're using data about their customers to pivot more quickly. So either providing fresher product inventory or new technology-driven experiences to the customer. So there is a fine line between providing too much context into your customer, but you need to obviously have an eye on the market as well and be aware of how you can best sell to customers.
And so that is kind of there's two elephants in the room, I think, and we'll get to the second one. But the first one is that creepiness factor overall.
Right.
Or that's maybe not fair. That may be more specific to retail, but there's a big brother factor. Overall, you have so much data on me. Now you have more. Sure, it gives me a good experience, but blah, 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 blah. Do you feel like, especially with the research that you're doing and looking at the different companies that you are people considering that? Is that something that's important, or is it something like, all right, the consumer will deal with it, they'll just get used to it over time?
I think people are absolutely considering security and data protection. I think that's one of actually the biggest barriers to IoT gaining widespread adoption, especially such as in the home, connected home devices. People are really reluctant to adopt these if they feel that they can't trust them and trust that the data is being used and stored and secured as it should, especially with things like connected cars coming onto the market. There's, you know, a justifiable fear that the car could remotely be taken control of, and it has huge implications. So, I mean, consumers and businesses are both starting to prioritize security and building it into the solutions.
Yeah, I think we see, obviously, this is our kind of where we live, where I live overall. And we're always going to be more skeptical on the security side. It's frightening how little testing is going into these things, both from the software and the hardware side. We just deployed what we call a hardware bridge for our Metasploit project for testing, and that allows you now to actually test hardware. So it's really focused on IoT, and actually the person who created it is Craig Smith, who wrote the book on car hacking. And there's a realization here that, obviously for us too, as a security community, that we have got to help the IoT community, both from a software and a hardware perspective, make it easier to test, because the innovation is moving so quickly. And when you have a software, you know, development life cycle that is so quick and agile, and it's combining DevOps and all these different types of things, security often becomes kind of the last thing they worry about from the device perspective. But the other thing that you mentioned was the data. And the data is, you know, obviously somewhere else, most likely in the cloud. And it's in Azure or Amazon or wherever it is overall. And so there's kind of three or four different threat landscapes that we have to consider when it comes to IoT. But I do wonder, at least based on my own like experience with consumers and the amount of homes I go into now that has a Nest or an Echo or, you know, whatever it is, I'm still amazed, and my friends are all sick of hearing about it when I go into their homes, that they actually have enabled all of these things at this point, because I'll be quite frank, like, I don't trust any of it. But that may just be because I'm living in a security industry.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely see where you're coming from. Even earlier this week, I don't know if you heard about this, the Cloud Pets company, which is
yes.
a company that, yeah, it's a stuffed animal company. It allows parents to record messages on a smart app, send them via the cloud to their child's stuffed animal, and then the child can play the message and send one back. It seems like a great idea, and it's a great way to connect with parents who perhaps work and travel a lot. Earlier this week, there was a breach, and it was discovered that over 2 million voice recordings of children and parents had been exposed. Yeah. And it's things like that. People bring these solutions into their homes, and there's kind of this innate trust with technology, especially for people who have grown up with it. But you don't think about what the implications are if it's not being secured.
Yeah, and the nice thing about something like the Cloud Pets one, which we can, I mean, that's super intrusive, and obviously if it was something that affected my children, which obviously it didn't because I just told you how paranoid I am. but, you know, it would feel just like bad. But the good thing is, and the silver lining is, and this is the way we look at it in security and have for a long time, is that a lot of the things that are happening right now, even things like more intrusive, like the baby monitoring hacking, which the vulnerabilities, actually that was something that Rapid7 had disclosed a while back. There's different things that are happening, but the fortunate thing is the big things haven't necessarily happened yet. And so I'm hoping that there's a groundswell at least. And it sounds like, you know, you're seeing it, which is awesome, from businesses that are actually deploying a lot of these things and banking their business on a lot of these things, that we can deal with the Cloud Pet hack. We can deal with, you know, that type of breach. But it's the cars, it's the, you know, the bigger ones that maybe we're not considering. It's the, you know, the connected insulin pumps. It's the, those types of things mm-hmm. that I think if we get ahead of this, maybe we will have a shot of not only does it make our lives better, but we do feel secure and at least confident that our data and our lives in a lot of ways, not to be fuddy, but are kind of in safe hands.
Yeah, definitely. But I think that, I mean, the cloud pets one seems silly, but when that's your first touch point with IoT, you're going to be a lot more reluctant to give it a second chance. So I think if we keep seeing problems with things like the Alexa, people making purchases that their kids is making purchases that people don't want them to make, things like that, where if it's not providing as much value as it is providing inconvenience and perhaps even security implications, you'll see that IoT adoption, especially in the home, is going to be a lot slower.
Yep. No, that's a really good point. Certainly even slower in my home. But as much as my wife wants to get a Nest, let's talk a little bit. Let's shift a little bit because you kind of talked about adoption. So let's put security to the side. And let's assume we're all doing what we should do. We're testing these things. Yay. That's awesome. So we'll keep an eye on that, obviously. But what are the other, are there other barriers to growth when it comes to IoT?
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great question. So I believe that with things like manufacturing, supply chain, industrial applications, the growth is easier because a lot of the times it's about making hardware and services that you currently use smarter. So it's not about adopting new devices necessarily. It's about making the business equipment that you have, the devices, smarter themselves. Whereas with consumer adoption, a lot of the time it's about bringing in a new device that you haven't previously used. So that's why we're seeing a lot more traction in the manufacturing, logistics space, even transportation, putting sensors on tracks, tracking goods that are being transported to ensure that the environmental conditions that they're transported in are okay. Things like that, we're seeing a lot more traction with because it's about changing existing business processes rather than trying to create new lifestyle habits.
Hmm. And what would, if you're putting your prediction hat on, for 2017, you know, what's something that, you know, if we were doing this in December of this year, what's something that we're talking about that you're really surprised that this happened in the marketplace, whether it's around growth, whether it's around a use case, whether it's around acquisitions, what's something that you think would be like, wow, I didn't see that one coming?
I think any more consolidation in terms of some of the big IoT platform players, you see large companies investing a lot in this space. I would be really surprised if they drastically pivoted their strategy or consolidated. I think there's a lot of opportunity and a lot of money to be made in IoT. I would be surprised to see exits in the space, to be frank, you know, especially from the larger players.
Yeah, that would be a big surprise. And do you think that, I mean, are we looking at a world where you know, you've mentioned some big names, Cisco, IBM, you know, will they just dominate over time, or are there kind of some smaller, and let's call them platform companies, because I think that was a good way that you put it, that might challenge some of the big behemoths when it comes to IoT specifically?
Yeah, it's a really good question. I think with IoT, it's really important to be able to adapt your strategy continuously. So I think that's one of the challenges with the larger players, is that they're more, you know, bureaucratic almost. They're more traditional. There's a lot. It's a slower go-to-market for new IoT services. I mean, companies like IBM are trying to combat this by, I don't know if you heard about IBM opening the Watson IoT global headquarters. It's a place where partners and clients can come in and work together with IBM IoT experts to develop new solutions in these co-laboratories, they're calling them. So I think that's a strong advantage for IBM in that it makes the company a little bit more agile. you know, with startups, you hear that it's a lot easier for startups to bring products to market because the teams are so small and there's a lot more communication. And I think that's one of the biggest risks with these large IoT behemoths is that there's, you know, it's a slower process.
Yeah. Well, this has been really interesting. One of the things I'd love to do too at some point is have you back and maybe combine with, you know, one of our IoT security folks here, because I'm sure we could just talk about that for a long period of time. And maybe we give kind of this first half of 2017, you know, we'll give it back to the IoT manufacturers and players and see if they're actually going to keep up with the security, or are we going to see more and more cloud pets and or something that might be even more dramatic happen over the years. But I really appreciate the time. This was awesome. I loved it.
Great. Well, thank you so much for having me. It's always exciting to talk about IoT, and there's always a lot to say. So.
Oh, I bet. Yeah, this is not going to slow down, right? We're always going to have stuff to talk about when it comes to this.
Absolutely.
Awesome. Charlotte, and we'll do it in person at some point, too. I think that would be great.
Yeah, that would be fantastic.
Perfect. Thank you so much. Enjoy the rest of your day and your week.